Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I want winners.
DJ Khaled. Hey. Yeah.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
Won't stop now. Whoa. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it in my folks locked down. I never went nowhere. Know what they saying? Luda's back. Yeah. Blame it on that contour. The hood call it Luda Yak. Hey. And I'm on this foolish track, so I spit my foolish flow. My hands go up and down, down. Like strippers' booties go. Whoa. My verses still be serving, yeah. Tight like a million verses. Yeah. Last time on a college remix, now I'm on the original version. Yeah. Can't never count me out. Yeah. Y'all better count me in. Yeah. Got 20 bank accounts. Accountants count me in. Every year, the South champion. Yeah. Cause all I do, all I do is
win, win, hey. Win.
Yes, yes, yes. Today's show, I'm the master plan. This is JT on his fine May 6th, first weekend of the May. First weekend of May. Been a fine day. We're talking about winners today. Winners on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Winners in horse racing, winners in boxing, winners in basketball. That's all we're going to be talking about tonight because, I mean today, this morning, because there was a lot of winners on a party day yesterday. There's a lot of people partying and recovering from that party today because of what happened last night. A lot of people got paid last night making bets, doing the right thing, and playing that championship type of basketball or boxing in the ring or a small Mexican enjoying Cinco de Mayo for 2 minutes, a rookie we're talking about. I'm JT, and yes, I said this is the master plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll run that back to you again. It's 347-637-3220. We have a chat room also. That chat room is open for anything and anybody who wants to jump in there and join the fray. I'm looking at it. You got something to say, talk to me. I'll be there waiting for you and responding to you. Like I said, this is a show of winners, and we're going to be talking again, like I said, boxing, basketball, in fact, the Kentucky Derby, May 5th. Cinco de Mayo happened to be on my birthday. I had an enjoyable birthday for those who knew that it was my birthday, and for those who didn't, I'm just putting that out there. Anyway, even if you don't like me, even if you don't care, I'm putting it out there anyway because that's the way I roll on this show. It's all about JT because this is my show called The Master Plan, all right? So if you don't like it, tune me out, or jump in the fray. If you want to challenge the master, I'm always up to the challenge. Are you? Anyway, let's talk about the first thing we're talking about. We're talking about a young man getting an opportunity for the first time. For the first time, jumping into the Kentucky Derby with the old Kentucky home or whatever you want to call it. Mint juleps and big hats and styling people coming down to the Kentucky Derby. Everybody has their favorite horse. And it's very ironic, the winner of the horse. Let me lay this out for you now. I had said on yesterday's program, which would happen to be the FSP show, which starts at 1 o'clock on Saturday, hosted by Vic Gardner, and co-hosted by myself and Black the Bookie and whoever else jumps in the fray. Macau jumped in the fray. We had a little discussion yesterday about boxing, but we'll get to that soon. And he had asked me for my analysis on the Kentucky Derby. Now, I had told him the horse I really liked was Bodemeister, a Baffert horse. He showed the best numbers in my opinion. He looked like he could get the distance. They all got the distance. It's all a matter of where they ended up, okay? They all got the distance. Anyway, what I'm talking about is this. I said I liked Bodemeister, and I also liked a few horses behind him. The few horses I liked behind him, and let me just get to what I had here. Bear with me for folks a minute. I just had it, and I'll have it in a minute. Oh, here we go. I had said I liked Bodemeister on top, along with Union Rags behind him, Hanson behind him, Gemologist behind him, and I can't recall the other horses, but those basically the horses I like. I thought they would be Bodemeister quite naturally on top, and Gemologist and the other horses I mentioned, whatever order they showed up in, but Bodemeister on top. Well, the race laid out. There's always in a root race. If for those who don't know, there's always in a root race, a rabbit. A rabbit is a horse that goes out first, front to the lead, and sets the pace. I wouldn't say it's a sprinter, but it's a speed horse in a race that doesn't usually hold up. If it's a mile and a quarter race, a mile and a half, a mile and a quarter, doesn't usually hold up in a root race. Anything over a mile is a root race. A mile and a sixteenth, a mile and eighth, a mile and a quarter, a mile and a half, a mile and three quarters. Those are all root races. And usually a horse that has a lot of speed that goes out to the front, that if you look in the past performances, won't normally end up in the end of the race. I would say 80% of the time that horse will not end up winning the race. May hold on for second, third, or something like that. For the most part, he or she finishes way back in the pack because of stamina. That's just it. The horse is not made to run that far for the most part. And in this case, Trinidad was supposedly the speed in the race. Well, this is what happened. And I don't know if it's the fault of the jockey or the horse or whatever, but the horse was young, hadn't raced a two-year-old. I'm talking about Bodemeister. And the horse likes to race on the lead, meaning that it likes to race in the front. That's the lead. And for those who don't know about horse racing, I'm trying to give you a quick education on this. Anyway, everyone thought that Trinidad was going to run out there. Well, what happened was Trinidad went out there, but Bodemeister went in front of Trinidad and really set the pace. And I thought I was home free at the top of the stretch. This horse, Bodemeister, had about, I would say, had probably a two to three length lead. A length is the length of a horse from toe to rear. So that's the length of a horse, and I thought he had about a three-length horse lead going to the top of the stretch. Well, lo and behold, a horse, I wouldn't say come out of nowhere, but this horse came with authority. Let me put it this way. Came with authority. The horse only won by a length and a half, which is not bad, which is not good, but, I mean, he won convincingly. They're talking about I'll Have Another, which is very ironic on Cinco de Mayo, that a horse winning at the Kentucky Derby, name of the horse is I'll Have Another. Sold as a yearling for a paltry $11,000, ridden by a rookie jockey hardly anyone knew, and stuck in an outside post no horse had ever won from. Like it says, it's not exactly a blueprint for success at Churchill Downs. But with the finish line in sight, the chestnut colt overtook highly regarded, and I really like this horse, Bodemeister, in the final furlong Saturday to make a name for himself and the rider, the jockey, this rookie rider, Mario Gutierrez. He was overwhelmed with emotion after he had won the race. I would think so. I'll have another stormed out of the number 19 post, the first winner from there in 138 runnings of the Derby. That's 138 years that the number 19 post, they had 20 horses in the race, and there's no one ever finished from the auxiliary, well, no one ever finished from the number 19 post. And he bided his time back in mid-pack while Bodemeister set a blistering pace on a hot, muggy afternoon. Now, that was my problem with this, people. Bodemeister set a pace that was crazy. The first quarter was 45 and change, which is, for a mile and a quarter, that's crazy. Something like that, a quarter like that, you don't set that for a mile and a quarter. You set that for maybe a mile and a sixteenth, a mile, definitely for a six furlong race. But a mile and a quarter, it took all this horse to even get to maintain second. So I got to give it to this horse. He's an amazing horse. I kept telling everybody from the first time I met him, I knew he was the one. I knew he was good, quoted Gutierrez. I said in an interview, even if they allowed me to pick from the whole rest of the field, I would have stayed with him 100%, no doubt about it. Now, that's a hell of a statement for a rookie going into this race. Gutierrez, making his Derby debut at 25, got his chance to ride I'll Have Another after trainer Doug O'Neill and owner J. Paul Redham just happened to see him at a race in Santa Anita in Southern California. Now, it was another chapter in his unusual role to the Derby winner's circle. Now, I'm going to read to you about this kid shortly, a small snippet about this kid. He followed in his father's footsteps as a jockey, and most of these guys do. Most of them are it's in the genes that a lot of Mexican riders are ideal for being a jockey. Getting on quarter horses in Veracruz, Mexico at 14, which is nothing new for a Mexican jockey. After a stint in Canada, he took that route. He eventually started getting noticed on the West Coast, especially after he won the Santa Anita Derby. Now, this kid, and it took some guts for the trainer and the owner to have this kid put on this horse without thought of getting a name rider, a so-called, in quotation marks, a name rider, to put on his horse. So what happens was he was largely a mystery to the record crowd, who didn't know the 15-1 shot, I'll Have Another, or the jockey had the right stuff, until the 20-horse field turned for home. That's when Gutierrez moved up between horses around the final turn, positioned his colt not far from the rail, and sent him down to run. I'll Have Another, quite naturally, if you saw the race, overhauled a tiring Bodemeister. Now, there was no other horses. Bodemeister was tiring, but there really was no other horses that were catching Bodemeister because, like I had in my analysis, I thought the horses that I picked on Saturday behind Bodemeister, quite naturally, all these horses can get the distance, but being competitive is a different story. I didn't think any of these so-called horses like Gemologist or Union Rags or some of these other horses would be able to compete with Bodemeister, and I was right. Bodemeister, I would say he hung on for a second, but he had a solid second. He had a solid second. I mean, dual hand gave him a little scare at the end, but he had a solid second. That's no problem. Bodemeister was trained by a Derby winner, a three-time Derby winner, Bob Baffert, and was second as a 4-1 show favorite. Now, he was a soft favorite. This is a 20 horse field. A lot of people bet money all over the place, and those who bet I'll Have Another just for the name's sake probably definitely got paid. In the win category, putting some money on a horse to win. And the exacta, because the exacta paid over $300, because the horse paid $32 on a $2 bet. And the trifecta paid $3,000. And if the trifecta, the trifecta is picking the first, second, and third place horses. And if you were lucky enough or fortunate enough, even took a shot to put I'll Have Another on top with the horses that finished second, third, and fourth, which it would be the superfecta, you would richly rewarded on a $2 bet with a $96,000 $96,000 superfecta, which is not bad if you are able to pick I'll Have Another on top, Bodemeister second, Doolahan third, and went the day well fourth, which I don't know if anybody would put went the day well as the fourth horse, but in a 20 horse field, anybody could finish in the fourth hole, third hole, something like that. So, but in my opinion, and I should relay this, my key horse in the race was Bodemeister, and he finished second. I like Bodemeister. I'm telling you right now, I think he is. It may not be an ideal fit as we look in retrospect for Churchill Downs, but the speed favoring track in Pimlico is what Bodemeister is going to love. I think Bodemeister will definitely have a, if he comes back well from this race with no problems, and he rebounds well, he's a young horse. Every horse, every race that he runs is going to give him more experience. He showed himself well in this race. I think because of the way Pimlico plays out, with the speed favoring track and sharp turns, I think Bodemeister is a strong candidate to win that race. I know I'll Have Another is going to be there because he didn't waste any time varying the trainer from I'll Have Another, which is Doug O'Neill, didn't waste any time vowing that I'll Have Another will go on to the Preakness in 2 weeks. His quotes, "Maryland, here we come, baby." He was very, extremely excited. If you saw the, if you watched the race on TV and saw the post-race interview from Doug O'Neill right after the race with him and his son with the interviewer, he was very, very happy about it, quite naturally. It was his first win in the Kentucky Derby. And he enjoyed it to the most, and I know, like I said, it's on Cinco de Mayo, so I know that the Kentucky Derby winner, meaning the jockey, I know he partied last night. I can believe that the owner and the trainer and all his relatives and friends that they brought to the Kentucky Derby partied last night. Cinco de Mayo, you think they didn't party? And all they could say, and like I said, this show is about,
I want winners.
And we're talking about winners, people. So that's the recap on the Kentucky Derby and what I saw took place. Look for Bodemeister, as long as he rebounds well, to make a give a good, very good showing of himself in Pimlico. And I think he'll be the favorite. I don't think I'll Have Another, who looks like he likes to come off the pace, which is not favoring in Pimlico. For those racing fans that are familiar with Pimlico, Pimlico is a speed favoring track. A lot of horses at the front end win at Pimlico. It's very tough to come off the pace if you have a horse that's got the speed in front of you. A mile and a quarter at Churchill is different. A mile and 3/16, which is the Preakness, which is at Pimlico in a couple of weeks, is a shorter race. And I don't think if Bodie Meister goes out there, like I think he will, as long as he's going to the race and he comes up healthy after the Churchill, after the Kentucky Derby, I think he's got a very good shot of winning that race. But I'll give you my analysis of that race on the FSP show on Saturday, the day of the race, which is in 2 weeks. That would be the 15th, the 12th, the 17th, something like that, give or take a day. So we'll move on from that. I spent a little more time on that than I wanted, but that's okay, because the next subject I want to talk about, is he a bad guy or a good fighter? I'm talking about Floyd Mayweather, okay? If for those who are living in a cocoon and didn't realize or didn't even bother to pay the price, which I was fortunate enough to be able to watch the fight from my own confines in my home, and I watched every round of this fight. The ringside consensus, at least in my neighborhood, had the judges a bit too charitable toward Floyd Mayweather. Now, 43 wins without a defeat, but yet to begin his 90-day sentence in county jail. Now, I can't remember the date, but he's going to jail soon to spend 3 months in jail. Then again, as the postponed execution of said sentence would suggest, Mayweather represents house money for Nevada and the State Athletic Commission. For what it's worth, I had Mayweather, from what I've seen, I had Mayweather winning 9 rounds out of 12. I thought there was one round that was, even in my opinion, I know they don't give even in boxing, but I think one round was even. I think the ninth round was an even round. I gave Cotto and the sixth and the eighth round. I thought Floyd dominated the first 5 rounds of this fight. I wouldn't say toy with him, but it took a while. Halfway through this fight, for Cotto to have an idea, or thinking he had an idea of how to fight Mayweather. Now, Mayweather's not my favorite guy. The making it rain routine has become at best a dreadful cliche. Worse still is that the way HBO was like, they were just loving Mayweather, I understand that they're in love with this guy. I understand that he's a good fighter. I understand that, great fighter, whatever you want to call it. But, come on, you got to have some type of humility. I'm not arguing that Mayweather, who will begin a sentence June 1st for roughing up the mother of his children, is beyond redemption. But for all the talk of boxing's decline, perhaps there's another decline to consider. What happened in on Saturday night? Was a decent fight. It wasn't as exciting a fight as I thought it would be. For all criticism, Mayweather, it's worth mentioning his toughness, because he was getting popped. His nose got bloody. Cotto bloodied his mouth. He cracked him pretty good in his sixth round with a jab and a left hook. In the eighth, Cotto pounded him with his right hands to the body. So for all his, I wouldn't say transgressions, but for all his supposedly flaws with people who don't like him, Mayweather definitely showed his toughness in this fight. Mayweather had little experience of losing rounds, but after each, he came back stronger. So when he's apparently lost the, well, in my opinion, he lost the sixth round. He came back in the seventh round and redeemed himself and tried to take over in the seventh round. But then Cotto, like I said, in the eighth round, I think he took that round. And said, no, Mayweather, you're not taking this fight over. I still have some left, and I'm going to give it to you right now. And he gave it to him in the eighth round. Miguel Cotto is the last of the Mohicans. He came to fight, and Mayweather knew that this guy wasn't going to back down. That's for sure. Now, if you're telling me that it was worth the $60 plus tax or whatever it was, $60-$65 to watch this fight, I would say, I don't think so. You go by the judging of the fight. It was a unanimous decision. So that's telling you something right there. And it wasn't a unanimous decision, in my opinion. Excuse me. It wasn't a unanimous decision by a close margin. It was like 1-6-17, 1-10, something like that, 1-18, 1-10, or whatever. I can't recall the scoring, but it wasn't like it's a 1-15, 1-16, something like that. It was a pretty soundly scored decision. I talked on the show on Saturday thinking that Cotto wouldn't be able to take Floyd the distance. I had a dissent opinion on that, saying that Mikhail, who happens to be one of our hosts on the FSP show on Saturday at 1 o'clock, he had said that he didn't think the fight would go past sixth or seventh round, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in that area. I was confident that Cotto was going to make sure that he was going to test Mayweather for as long as it took, which is the 12 rounds, and it did go 12 rounds. But the problem was Cotto couldn't overcome the speed, quickness, the guileliness, and the reach. He had about a 10-inch reach, which is unheard of with Mayweather. So anytime Cotto got close, Mayweather was able to keep him at bay. The only problem that Mayweather looked like he had was Cotto was quite naturally, he was stronger. Because his walk-around weight is 154. Mayweather had to get up to that weight. So it's not as if Mayweather could physically stand Cotto off, other than keep him at bay with his jabs and his reach, his superior reach. But Mayweather got pushed to the ropes quite a few times, and that's where, excuse me, Cotto seemed to have an advantage. But I liked the fight. I wouldn't have paid for the fight, which I didn't, and I'm not going to go any further. I saw the fight, but I didn't pay for the fight. So the other thing I'm talking about is also on that card was the undercard. The Saul Canelo Alvarez against Sugar Shane Mosley. Now, this featured an interesting, if one-sided fight, and it illustrates the 40-year-old Shane Mosley, it's time to hang it up. I watched this fight. I was unable to watch the whole fight. I watched probably half the fight, and half the fight I watched was clear to me that the younger Alvarez was the superior fighter, and that Mosley, even though he had He had something left in the tank. He didn't have enough left in the tank for this young boy. It's obvious that Mosley needs to go, and I think that's what he stated after the fight, that he was going to go into the promotion business and that he was going to go onto the business side versus the actual athletic side, being an athlete, a boxer, and hang up his gloves and make money through promotion of fights versus being in the fights. And I think that's a good move. I think he proved it to himself and everyone that watched the fight that even though he has some talents, he doesn't have enough talents to box on a world-class stage anymore. And it's best to leave while you still have some faculties versus staying out there like Bernard Hopkins and some other of these fighters who are older and risk serious brain trauma that would be detrimental to you in later years. So I'm going to go into this commercial first, and then I'll come back, and we'll talk about the we'll talk about some NBA, West, East, and see if we can get somebody to either respond on the chat room or on the phone. Be back in a short minute.
Indu Studio 9 and Corrupted Nature Entertainment presents Wasted Wednesday's Reggae Hip Hop Showcase, hosted by D-Champ CEO, with 93.9's DJ Analyze on the ones and twos, starting Wednesday, April 25th, and every Wednesday following at Ross Lounge, 4809 Georgia Avenue, Northwest. Doors open at 9, ladies free till 11, and $5 after. Men $10 all night, $3 Ross Punch, $100 bottles, and group of 5 females get a free bottle of champagne. 21 and up to enter. For showcase sign up, contact D-Champ at 202-440-6550. Be there.
I want winners.
Yes, sir. This happens to be the master plan. I happen to be JT. I am the master. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. Say that again for those who are hard of hearing the first time, 347-637-3220. I also have a chat room. If you'd like to converse with me with a chat room statement, anything you like. I don't care if it's off subject. You want to talk about the last few subjects I talked about, what happened to be the Kentucky Derby and the boxing event that took on last night, which is Mayweather versus Cotto. Or you want to talk about any other subject, the call-in. I gave you the number. If you can't remember it, it's too bad. I gave it to you twice. If you like to do through the chat room, I'm sitting there, sitting looking at the chat room. If you want to say something in the chat room, I don't care what you got to say. I can deal with it all. I happen to be 58 years old, or 58 years young, whatever you want to say. And I've seen a lot, heard a lot, done a lot. So if you'd like to converse with the chat room, feel free to do so. It's open for you. Do it at your leisure. Anyway, like I said, we're talking about winners today, winners in the Kentucky Derby, winners in boxing. Now we're going to slide in to the NBA. There were several games on yesterday, Indiana versus Orlando, Memphis versus the Clippers, Oklahoma City Thunder versus the championship, former champions, Dallas Mavericks, San Antonio Spurs versus the Utah Jazz. Where should I go first? Let's start with the East and work West. How about going to the Indiana Pacers versus the Orlando minus Dwight Howard Magic? Now, happens to be a hotly contested playoffs that game four ended up in overtime. The Pacers won the last game 101-99. George Hill hitting a couple of free throws in the waning seconds in overtime, 2.2 seconds left in overtime to help the Indiana survive and take the series lead 3-1. Now, the Indiana Pacers. Why do you keep on saying Indianapolis, Jerry? Indiana Pacers are a very young team, coached by a coach that. Well, let me put it this way: it's a very young team, going against the Orlando Magic that has been going through a lot of turmoil and problems throughout the basketball season, pertaining to especially the coach and the star player who's not in the playoffs due to an injury, an operation on his back, which is, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm not too keen on the supposedly superstar of Dwayne Howard. I think it hurt the team. Well, quite naturally, him not being there hurt the team. But I see this not being for long. I think the Pacers are going to eventually overtake the Magic. I don't think the Magic have enough to overcome a 3-1 deficit now. I think it's virtually over. So I don't know what it's going to take to Orlando. Orlando is going to have to rely on its experience in being in the playoffs versus Indiana, and I don't think they have enough firepower to do that. That's how I see that. Let's move on to the other three teams, which happens to be out in the West, and one of them being which is a very hotly contested matchup between the Memphis Grizzlies, who are a gritty, very gritty team, against the young and experienced. I say that because there's there's a nice mixture on this team of the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers happened to lead this 2-1, but all these contests have been very hotly contested, and this one didn't disappoint at all. With about 2:02 left, and with an 82-80 lead, the Grizzlies fought back and tied the game, but the experience and the athleticism of the Los Angeles Clippers prevailed, even though it's just by a point. On last second shot, Rudy Gay just clanged it off the front of the rim, which I think the defense contributed to that for the most part, because he had a decent look. The defense came up at the last minute and disrupted his shot, and it forced him to come up short. Otherwise, this series would have been tied up 2-2. Let's move on to the San Antonio Spurs and the Utah Jazz, who handily beat the Utah Jazz, which is this Utah Jazz team has been totally outclassed from the first tip-off of the first game. They were playing in Utah. You would think Utah would they probably did. Let me put it that way. It was a close game at halftime. 2-point lead by the Spurs at halftime. But the third quarter, they came out. And the Spurs basically took the game over. 102-90. They won comfortably. The Spurs are up 3-0. they'll be able to close it out in the next day or so. I'm not exactly sure when the next game is, but it's probably in the next few days. And it should be the Spurs moving on to face the next team that we're going to be talking about, I think. Let me do this. All right. Down by 13 points with less than 10 minutes remaining, Oklahoma City could have easily have been content knowing they could have go home for a game five, still needing to win only one more game. No, no, no. The Thunder were the 20-something all-star duo of Kevin Durant and Russ Westbrook. Now, I had been down on Westbrook for quite a while. I thought this kid took too many shots, left out their prolific scorer a lot of times when he shouldn't have, meaning Kevin Durant. But this kid is the real deal. I have to say that. He's the second of the trio that the Thunder need to make a serious run to get to the championship. I'm talking about Kevin Durant as the number one, Russell Westbrook as number two, and James Harden, who is their emerging star, who led the way in the fourth quarter with 10 minutes remaining. And like I said, they were 13 points down. James Harden scored 15 of his 29 points in the fourth quarter, including 9 in a 12-0 run, and the Thunder rallied for a 103-97 victory Saturday night to complete a first-round series sweep of the defending champion. He got into attack mode. I was determined to make plays, so they made plays. James Harden was unstoppable. Whoever they put on him, they could not stop him. He was guarded by Jason Kidd, and I'm trying to think who else guarded him. But whoever they decided to put on him, either he was able to drive to the basket, which is one of his favorite things to do. He's a left-hander, but he can do it both ways, left-handed or right-handed, driving to the basket, or he can pull up for a jump shot, which he was doing. He was phenomenal. His pick-and-roll game is unreal. I'm telling you, he's fun to watch. And Kevin Durant said this: the best part about our team is that we have a lot of guys who can play off each other, and we complement each other well. And one of the things I was talking about before, that I don't think Westbrook was a team guy. I think he was all an eye guy. I was wrong. They need his scoring. They need his attack mode type of mentality, his aggressiveness, because that adds to and benefits Harden, benefits the team. Who's ever on the court with Westbrook benefits, because it opens up jump shots or lanes for other players because of the way he is and his ability. Kevin Durant, it loves playing with this guy. James Harden loves playing with this guy, and the rest of the starting five love playing with this guy, because he's got that killer mentality, that killer attitude. The coach said, this is a quote from the coach, this goes without saying, I'm excited we won the series. James had an incredible game, meaning James Harden. We ran pick and rolls at the angles. He was making plays for himself or our shooters. They are young guns that gained a wealth of experience in the playoffs last year when they played the Lakers. This is an extremely, extremely dangerous team because they have height, they have length, they have quickness, they have mental toughness, they have a very good game coach, playoff coach also, and Scotty Brooks. This, from the experience, just the 1 year experience they had last year, is they're primed to be able to compete with whoever they run up against in the next go-round. And the next go-round will be the nemesis that they had last year would be the Lakers. The Lakers are playing the Denver Nuggets in their first round series. So whoever wins that round, either it's Denver, but the Lakers are winning 2-1 right now, they would be playing the Lakers. And that should be a very exciting series. I would think that the Oklahoma City Thunder are dying to get the Lakers back so they can prove to them that they can beat the Lakers and get that out of the way, get that over the hump. I think these guys really are hungry. I'm a big, huge, huge fan of Durantula, meaning Kevin Durant. I think he's the MVP of the league this year. A lot of people are pushing out LeBron James, who I'm not a fan. I know there's a lot of people who are fans of LeBron James. I'm not one of them. I think LeBron James is a front-running type of guy. Skip Bayless and also Stephen A. have said the same thing, so I'm not the only lone dissenter about that. LeBron James loves playing from the front. When push comes to shove, when it's pressure time, when the butt cheeks start getting a little tighter, is when LeBron James has a tendency to shrink away and not come up to the task. If anyone has anything to say about that, I'm in the chat room. Talk to me. I'm on the line on the telephone. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. You got something to say? I'm here. Talk to me about it. We can talk. We can converse. We can argue. We can have dissenting opinions. I'm all for it. Okay. We talked about winners on all fronts here. We're talking about all winners.
I want winners.
That's right. And we had winners in basketball. We had winners in boxing. We had winners in the Kentucky Derby. What else do we need to talk about? Can we talk about now we're talking about winners in NFL football. NFL football. How stupid is that? That was pretty stupid. Anyway, I'm talking about the NFL. I'm talking about the things that have been going on in the NFL, talking about the suspensions, talking about the football players ending their lives, talking about football players that aren't going to be playing this season because of the injuries. How about that, people? Terrell Suggs. Now, I think the Baltimore Ravens were an older defensive team. They got some decent draft picks to make up for the ones that they lost in free agency or whatever. But Terrell Suggs got hurt. That's a big blow to their defense. I would have a tendency to not think the Baltimore Ravens are going to be as good as teams think. I don't think the Baltimore Ravens are a team that you they may be. I think they're a 9-win team now, maybe a 10-win team. I don't think they win the division. I think this division, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, in your opinion, you guys may think that they're still the class of the division. Those guys, those teams are older teams. I know they drafted younger players, but they're still older teams. Those Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Look for the Cincinnati Bengals. They gave you a taste of what they could do. You're young, an up-and-coming team, and they got good young talent. Cincinnati Bengals, people. Baltimore and Pittsburgh took notice this year. They better not blink next year because This, I mean, they've been at blink this year, this season, because things are going to happen that a lot of things are going to change. What about the AFC South? I happen to be a Texans fan. That's why I'm talking about this. I think the Texans are in a prime position. I don't think there's anybody in that division that's going to challenge them. They have the better defense. They definitely have the better offense. I think the Texans are a team that's going to be in strong contention to go to the Super Bowl. I can't see a reason why the Texans, with a healthy Matt Schaub, a healthy Arian Foster, a healthy Andre Johnson, and those three are key, because that defense is solid. Wade Phillips has come in and solidified that defense. The offense is key. The players in the offense are key. They almost went to the AFC Championship with a rookie quarterback. I think if Matt Schaub stays healthy, they're going to the AFC Championship. Who's going to be there? Don't know, besides the Texans. But I strongly believe the Texans are a strong candidate to go to the AFC Championship. We're ways away from that. What do you think? Anybody have any suggestions about that? If not, no problem. I can tell you this. I would like to think that Texans have a very good shot. Let's talk about this. On Monday, this past Monday, Junior Seau was all smiles on Monday. All smiles, which a lot of people who are having, I would say, emotional problems or put a happy face on to hide all the despair and anguish and things that are going on in our lives from other people. You think that a guy would show signs of being depressed? The guys who play with him in the group were just devastated. Okay, all I can tell you is that Junior Seau was in a golf tournament on Monday. Happy guy, everybody loved Junior. Junior was just Junior, being a Polynesian. And if tell me if I'm wrong, Polynesian men have very big egos, and I don't know if it's inherent in his heritage or it's just being a man, afraid to show his emotions or show that he's got some type of weakness or something's wrong. The ego gets the best of us, being a male. Quite naturally, I understand that. I've learned to express myself a little better and show my emotions a lot better. It's good for the soul. It's good for the people around you that know that you are secure enough and feel have emotion enough that you're willing to share your emotions with other people. Plus, the fact is, It takes a lot of stress off you. I tell you that right now. It takes a lot of stress off you, and you understand how people can fall into that trap of holding things inside and not releasing them to anyone, and that's detrimental only to your family for not knowing how you truly feel, and especially to yourself. Especially when you go to the extreme, like committing what they ruled in San Diego by the medical examiner, a suicide. Quite naturally, his family was stunned. His friends were stunned. No one had seen the signs that Seau was troubled enough to contemplate suicide. So You never know. I always say that. You never know. I don't know what to say. I give a quote from the Chargers team chaplain, Sean Mitchell. Like I said, he hadn't seen the signs, and he was troubled and was looking to do himself in. This quote is what he said. With all those years and us talking openly, I didn't find in the last several months that Junior was significantly different than at other times. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, guys, you got problems. You got to talk to somebody. You try to internalize it. You try to hold it in, and you're not hurt anybody but yourself and your family, because to do this, it's very traumatic for your friends and people close to you to take your own life. Life's too precious as it is. He was only 43 years old. He had plenty of life left in him. Anybody who is feeling at that point, if you're listening to me, if you are in a depressed state, don't know where to turn, turn to a loved one. Turn to your wife. Turn to your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. Turn to your priest, your chaplain. Turn to somebody and get help. Don't think that you can solve it yourself, because you can't. It's not something that you can solve yourself. Put your ego aside. Put your machoism aside. Put your man pride aside and get help. It's only going to benefit yourself and your family. You'll be a better person for it. Don't let it go on unchecked. Things like this can happen if you do. You fall into a deep state of depression, and depression is a deadly, deadly disease. I hate to say it like that, but it is. With that being said, tune in next week. Same time, same place, same person. This is JT. I'm the master. This is the master plan. 10 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock in the morning every Sunday. And then if you don't like this type of program or a sports program, we have a change of pace called Compassion Bikini with Kim Fun. That's on 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, 4 to 4:30. Half-hour show is very informative, very enlightening. Very different from any other show that we have on. The next part of our family tree would be the FSP Cruise Show, which is me as the host, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker as the two co-hosts. That is 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock every Thursday. We on the air with special guests. We have guests that are very informative. And if you don't like that show, you can peruse down to Saturday, and we'll have the FSP show with the host Vic Gardner. I'll be the co-host. You hear from me 3 times a week, and soon maybe 4 times a week with a new show that I'll be co-hosting. That'll be fireworks that are going to be sparked on that show. We'll be promoting that show in the coming weeks, which I think you'll be very attuned and be very interested in listening to. Announcements will be coming shortly. The FSP show, 1 o'clock to whenever, on Saturday, hosted by Vic, co-hosted by myself, and Black the Bookie also. With that being said, as I close out this show all the time, I like to close it out with this. A life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future, so be careful how you treat people. I'm saying that. Be careful how you treat people. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Peace be with you. Love and happiness be with you. Quoting Al Green. How about that? I'm an old school guy. I like old school sayings. With that being said, this is the Master Plan. Till we meet next week, 10 o'clock, later.